Faith to Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. Whom the Son of God sets free shall be free indeed. But Islam says to call Jesus the Son of God is blasphemy worthy of death. What do you say? What do you say? You might want to get a copy of The Secret of the Lord and do it today. Get it on our website, saveus.org. God bless you. Let's pray for this God-forsaken land.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Crismier. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing in the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Pastor Preston Bailey, and we're going to be talking about some of the supernatural things that are going on in the world today. Now, basically, most Americans, of course, live in a material world, and we go to work, and we get paid, and we certainly see things, and we believe in what we see, but it is the things that we don't see sometimes that we have to understand, that we not only live in a material world, but there is an invisible world out there. We live certainly in a subjective world, but there's a spiritual world out there. And until people understand that there is this other dimension, why so much of what's going on today doesn't make sense. So, with that thought in mind, Pastor Bailey, thank you so very much for being with us tonight.
Yes, it's a pleasure to be here, Dr. Stan.
And, of course, apparently you've done a lot of studying on this sort of thing, on these almost supernatural forces, this idea of Nephilim and hybrids and these supernatural beings. Would you like to sort of pick up the story, tell our listeners a little bit about how you got involved looking into this and then what you have discovered?
Yes, I'm a clinical Christian psychologist, so I counsel people that have what is called highly complex SRADID. What that means is when a child is abused before the age of 7, their brain cannot handle the trauma, so they automatically dissociate or separate. It is a condition recognized by the American Psychiatric Association as a natural response to trauma. Well, what happens is if they're raised in an occult family, specifically the New World Order, if they're raised in one of these occult families, then they are programmed from birth. So that is called dissociative identity disorder caused by satanic ritual abuse. So every week I counsel people that are raised in occult families, and they describe in detail what is commonly called today the hybrid breeding program, or it is really the fulfillment of Matthew chapter 24, verses 37 and 38, that says, as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark.
Well, Pastor, we're going to, certainly we're going to have to take a little short break here. Are you on a regular landline because you're...
Yes, I am.
All right, fine. Well, then we'll just go right ahead. But basically, of course, Pastor, Preston Bailey is talking about certainly this unusual group of people coming from special families that are involved. Now, are these families primarily occult families?
Yes. Most of them are primarily occult families. Like the Illuminati, there's more than just the Illuminati, but it's a cult family. Yeah.
And these are not imaginary. These are real people raised in occult families in preparation for this coming world government. We're going to be back here in just a moment, right here at Radio Liberty, and really in the background of the so-called hybrids. This is Dr. Stan, and of course, Sidney Pastor Bailey is his son. His father was a minister before him, and of course, when he got out of seminary, he went to a church. This church was very close to a center where they had Wicca, where they actually, were raising children and families involved with witchcraft. And then, of course, as time went by, he began seeing more and more children that were actually had come from families that were involved with this effort to bring about a one-world occult order. This whole move towards world government is founded in the occult. And these children were victims of abuse. They were certainly abused for several purposes. One was to control them. The other was to create dissociative personalities or so-called multiple personalities. Would that be a fairly good appraisal of this, Pastor Bailey?
Yes, that's exactly correct. And I studied at Harvard Medical School, specifically dissociation, from the man who actually came up with the term, Dr. Richard Kluft, who actually came up with the term. It used to be called multiple personality disorder, but Dr. Kluft said that's not really accurate. There's really only one person and many different parts or divisions of the brain. So that's why it's called dissociative identity disorder.
Well, now, are these people, by the time they come to you, are they adults? Are they still children? Are they young adults? Are they trying to get away from this? Are they trying to have a normal life? Are they trying, of course, to get away from the occult families that have been indoctrinated them and mistreating them? Do these people want to be children of God?
Yes. Many of them come to me because they want to get out of New World Order organizations. Many of them become Christians, but they're highly programmed, so they can't just get out. It's just like any religious cult or any other type of cult in the world. You can't just one day decide, hey, I'm going to get out and leave. It doesn't work that way. Number one, if you try to leave, they may try to kill you. Or number two, you're highly programmed, so within their mind, they have programmed altars or parts that are loyal to the cult. So they try to counteract what this person wants to do in leaving the cult.
Well, now, basically, this cult, is this one cult or are there multiple cults? Is this a rare occasion or is this something fairly frequent that is going on that most people have never heard of and most people are totally unaware of? How frequent is this across America, do you think?
I would say there's millions of these people across America, but it's all over the world. There have been very well documented cases in most civilized countries of the world that this has occurred. What's interesting is I counseled one woman who was the daughter of a missionary. She was in Central America, and the local natives would kidnap her at night after the family was asleep, and they would ritually program her around the fire. Here in the middle of the jungle in Central America, they perform many of the satanic rituals on her that they do in the most sophisticated large cities in America.
So basically, of course, this is the common denominator behind all of this is their allegiance to Satan. Is this what you're saying?
Yes, that's exactly correct.
I think it's so hard for people in America to really believe that there are people who actually do worship Satan. Of course, these are not the ones that are coming to you for help. The ones that are coming to you are coming because they want to get away from it. But basically, I think people have to understand that there is another world out there. There really are people who worship Satan. They have their meetings. They have their covens. The traditional story we get, you know, they're meeting there somewhere in the woods at nighttime in front of a bonfire. Does this sort of thing really happen?
Yes, it happens all over. In fact, Los Angeles County has a satanic ritual abuse task force. And that is Los Angeles County in California. So they are trained to investigate satanic ritual crimes and people who were victimized by organized satanic groups. So this happens all across America.
Well, then, of course, what do they do? Are there ministers there who are in position, who are trained or capable of actually talking to these people, ministering to these people, helping them out of these satanic cults if they want to come out?
Many pastors are really scared of these people, and they don't know what to tell them, but this may be kind of a shocker to your audience, but I've actually counseled a number of people who were in Satanism and came out, and the high priest of their satanic group was a pastor of a local church. So Sunday morning, he would preach about Jesus, and Sunday night, he would lead the worship to Satan.
Well, we've been trying to explain to our listeners for a long time that the occult has infiltrated the Protestant church. They know how to speak Christianese, but they've changed very subtly the music and the message of our churches. They've changed this whole idea that, God is certainly a God, certainly, who are we to fear? Who are we to certainly to worship? Who are we to have respect for? To God is sort of a nice guy who loves everybody. There's no punishment for sin. And that's why people don't dress up when they go to church anymore. And certainly they've done a wonderful job changing the music of our churches. If people like rock music, that's fine. But it doesn't have any place in the Christian church. Do you think it does?
I think that the church and the world needs to be totally separate. It needs to be clear. In fact, in Ybor City in Florida, it is the death metal capital of the world, which is a specific type of music that focuses on worshiping Satan, suicide, and death. And it's specific, it's past heavy metal music, it is death metal music. And in churches, we need to clearly glorify and praise the Lord Jesus Christ, and it needs to be evident and not ambiguous in our churches today.
Well, now, basically, of course, we've talked about, as you call these people, hybrids. But certainly, these are just human beings. These are not some sort of a cross between a human and supernatural beings or demonic beings. But are there people of that sort? Are there Nephilim in the world today? What are your thoughts on that?
Yes. I think there are. In Genesis chapter 6, verses 1 through 4, it said, "It came to pass when the sons of God came unto the daughters of men." The sons of God, throughout the Bible, especially Psalms, refers to angels. Here it's referring to fallen angels. "And they took the wives of all they chose, and they interbred with women." It says they took wives that they chose, they married them. That simply means, in Bible language, that they had sex with them. They didn't have a marriage ceremony. They just took them. And they had offspring, which is called Nephilim. In fact, the Bible mentions two other books that Christians often don't read or talk about. It mentions the Book of Enoch and the Book of Jubilees. Both of them go into detail and describe what happened on Mount Hermon when these fallen angels, the Watchers, came in and had sex with human women, and those offbreeds, those hybrid children, were called Nephilim. And some of the Nephilim that had children, the offspring, they are called the Anakims. Well, most people don't know about the Anakims, but they know one of the Anakims, which was Goliath. Goliath, when David fought against Goliath, the Bible says he picked up five smooth stones. One of them was for Goliath, one was for his father, Anak, A-N-A-K, and his three brothers, so that's five. So young David had enough faith that he was going to wipe off from the face of the earth the hybrid Anakims, which was Goliath and his family. And the Bible says, as I've just read in Matthew 24, as in the days of Noah, so will the coming of the Son of Man be. So I believe, and many ministers that do the type of counseling that I do, that that the fallen angels, the watchers, have returned and have interbred with some humans and have offspring. And many people describe it as like, they call it alien abduction. That simply means they say that an alien came and impregnated them. And there has to be a Christian explanation. I think the best explanation is Matthew 24, that the fallen angels come and take women as they choose.
Well, basically, for our ladies and gentlemen who'd like to know something about these giants, these Nephilim, basically we have a four CD set. It's called The Return of the Giants, actually. It's my interviews with Barry Shamish, who's certainly a Jewish investigative reporter. He doesn't understand the significance of the story that he tells. But four interviews with Barry, who actually, for a period of many years, interviewed people in Israel, and for about a decade, these giants were occurring there in Israel, and then they stopped appearing. Go right ahead. Well, this is Dr. Stad, and certainly our guest is Pastor Preston Bailey, who is, in addition to being a minister, actually counsels people who come from New World Order satanic families, people with dissociative personalities. They used to call them multiple personalities. Now they call them dissociative personalities, victims of the misuse and treatment and torture, so that they were able to control these people. Some of these people want to get out. Some of them want to live normal lives. Some of them want, of course, come into a personal relationship with our Lord. This is not imaginary. The reason you're not hearing about this is because actually some of these people have actually infiltrated the churches and into our seminaries at the highest levels in both the Protestant and the Catholic Church. And the last thing they want is for people to understand what's really going on. And many ministers, honest, hardworking ministers, are really afraid to get out and talk about this sort of thing. Now, suddenly the Pastor Bailey was talking about an instance recently. What was this in England?
Yes.
What had happened over
London,
there?
London, England. And let me read it's very brief, the article from London, England. It says 150 human-animal hybrids grown in British labs. The embryos have been produced secretively for the past 3 years, and this actually happened this year. Many people are not aware that there's actually human-animal hybrids that can be created in laboratories. They have even created, it's called transgenic, which means across genes or species. Right now, this is not my imagination, this is right now in real life science that has already been created. There are transgenic sheep, goats, mice, chickens, pigs, cows, fish, insects, crops, GMO, genetic modified crops, sea organisms, and primates. In fact, there are parahuman pigs right now that have human DNA.
And I think these are terrible things. I don't think man has any right to be, or scientists have any right to be, taking human DNA and putting into pigs, or animal DNA and putting into human beings. I believe God is going to bring terrible judgment upon the world because of what we're doing to his creatures, the ones he made. But each one was separate and had their own genetic structure. And when man thinks he can play God, we're laying ourselves open for terrible, terrible retribution. Don't you think, Pastor?
Yes. I totally agree. And that's why I'm horrified by any type of hybrid, especially human and animal hybrids. So right now in laboratories, hybrids and transgenic creatures are created. In fact, back in 2003, Chinese scientists at Shanghai Second Medical University fused human cells with rabbit embryos. And this has gone, this was back in 2003. So just imagine what is going on in laboratories across the world that they're not telling us about and is hidden from the public.
Well, of course, if any of you would, out there in the listening audience would like to hear the story of the giants that were seen in Israel, certainly in the late 1980s and early 1990s, we have a 4-CD set. It's called The Return of the Giants with Perry Shamish. He talks about the people he talked to. And there wasn't just one or two. There were many people who actually saw the giants. Now, of course, they disappeared as quickly as they appeared. In other words, they were there for a period probably close to 10 years, and then suddenly not to be seen again. What do we make of this sort of thing? Well, I really believe that we're living, certainly, in prophetic times, and we're told, as it was in the days of Noah, why, of course, it will be with the return of the Lord. And at the times of Noah, there were Nephilim. There were these crossbreed individuals, gigantic people. And we have stories, not imaginary stories, but real stories of similar things happening today. Our guest, of course, is Pastor Preston Bailey, who actually counsels these people, and he's been doing this for some years, and there are a lot of people out there who are victims of satanic ritual abuse. It's in our society. It is not imaginary. As Pastor Bailey points out, some of the leaders of some of the covens are actually ministers who preach the gospel on the weekend, but the rest of the week, of course, they're engaged in their real occupation. And this is why we've seen the change in both the music and the message of the Christian church. We'll be back in just a moment here. This is Dr. Stan. Of course, Dr. Bailey, basically Pastor Bailey, talks about the Illuminati. And of course, those of you who certainly listened to our programs know how the Illuminati was formed. And certainly in 1776, May 1st, 1776, and the organization eventually was driven underground. It has existed within the structure of Masonry at the upper echelons of the Masonic movement ever since then. And apparently, according to Preston Bailey, why, of course, it exists today. The Illuminati is real. These people acknowledge they're part of the Illuminati, that they worship Lucifer. They make a very distinct difference between worship of Satan and worship of Lucifer. And they say that they don't worship Satan. They worship Lucifer. There are other people who say they worship Satan, and they don't worship Lucifer. It's all the distinction without a difference. But all of this has to do with the control of the minds of the people and anything to take people away from the worship of God, who can give them freedom. Certainly when you are involved with Satanism or Luciferianism, why, you are a servant, certainly, of these cults. Would that be a fair statement?
Yes, that's exactly correct. I think there's a verse that can connect all of this together so it makes sense to your listeners, and that's Revelation chapter 12, verse 4. Most Christians are very aware of this verse, but they don't always understand the implication. It says this: "And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon, Satan, stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born." Now, a majority of theologians, Christians, say this is referring to a third of the angels in heaven were kicked out by God. Well, to be more specific, there was actually nine orders of fallen angels in heaven that were kicked out. We often just focus on the order of fallen angels. Jesus called them demons, the apostles called them evil spirits, but they were cast to earth. Most Christians, and especially pastors, do not focus on the other eight fallen orders that are in higher rank than the fallen angels or the demons. So the key to understanding all of this is, for every one demon, we'll just say demon, for every one demon, there are two righteous angels in heaven. So Satan is already outnumbered 2-1. So the key to understanding all of this mind programming, whether it's by government agencies, whether it was by satanic families or occult groups, all of the programming, all of the people in the New World Order that are in the heads of the military or the government or in private business or in aerospace or whatever area it is, they're all working together to defeat God in a final battle, because Satan is outnumbered 2-1. So they have to create other forms of life, like Nephilim, which is a hybrid, which is two species coming together. So they have to create a lot of different types of hybrids, artificial life, and invent massive technology that they think they can use to defeat God. So all of this works together for the goal of trying to defeat God.
Well, now, have you ever met anyone that you thought might be a Nephilim, or do you know of anybody who actually has ever met anybody who was a Nephilim?
I have met people that that I did not think had all human DNA. So they were a hybrid. They would, Dr. Joseph Mengele in World War II, the Nazi doctor who, according to the Nuremberg trial, was responsible for murdering personally more than 100,000 people, he learned about genetics. So he taught genetics to occult groups around the world. He died in, which most people think is in Argentina, in his 70s. So he just marched out of the concentration camp with all of his notes and managed to escape freely. He took all of his notes with him. the Illuminati or any other New World Order group to create artificial forms of life. Now, this is a shock that this came out in the news today. This is very brief. It says the Office of Naval Research has been funding basic and applied research in synthetic biology for the past several years, with several applications for new naval capabilities. They have stealthy, remotely observable sentinel species for threat monitoring and response to those threats. And it says they are autonomous, living, non-living hybrid robotic systems that utilize cells as environmental sensors. That means they simply sense the environment. And it is robotic life forms with synthetic, artificial, biological, appearance. So it is like we saw in the movie with Arnold Schwarzenegger, cybernetic organisms. So they actually have created them right now in the U.S. military, Office of Naval Research. So people in the New World Order, they want to use laws, the government, military, and all of the advanced technology and research to control humans, to bring in the Antichrist, and to use advanced robotics and other type of technology to control humans on Earth and to fight God in the battle that's coming up, as described in the Bible.
And I think that most people find it so difficult to believe that there could really be, could be doing some of these things, that our government, our military could be involved. But I would say, why not? Well, we've turned against God in this country. We've taken God and prayer, the Ten Commandments, out of our schools. But we've taken it out of our universities. We've taken it out of our military. Basically, a commanding officer can no longer lead his troops in prayer in the name of Jesus Christ. Military chaplains are not allowed to pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Everything has been transformed, and certainly at the highest levels of our government today are people who hate Christianity, who hate Jesus Christ, and who hate Christians. And of course, they're using the fabulous amounts of money that the military has for all of these macabre experiments. And I think one day America is going to pay a terrible price, because men and women become accomplices to the evils they fail to oppose, and most Americans are just too busy to worry about this sort of thing, to talk about it, or certainly to oppose it. So certainly, what sort of results do you get, Pastor Bailey, when you're dealing with these people? Are you able to help these people who are trying to get out of these satanic cults? I mean, do you get 50% of them out, or 25%, or 75%? Any ideas?
Yeah, those that come to me, the vast majority, are able to get out with the power of Christ and just knowledge and experience in the occult and how to deal with them. I believe that God is the wonderful counselor, but now the people that are highly programmed have an advanced scientific component to them. So it takes one step past spiritual warfare. We have to understand the scientific principles that God has created. So in these New World Order organizations, they have gone to the very limits of the laws of nature that God has created, not only to create all kinds of weird hybrids and artificial life forms, but they use advanced technology to control these people. So Christian counselors need to understand the scientific principles that is behind the programming created the order and the structure of nature. So Christians need to find that order and the structure and pray accordingly.
Well, are we talking certainly about a few thousand people? Are we talking about tens of thousands of people? Are we talking about hundreds of thousands of people in these occult groups across America? What are your thoughts?
It is estimated. A lot of people who do what I do have discussed this, and we guesstimate that it's 2 million people in the United States.
2 million people in the United States are involved in these satanic cults, but then how could they keep this secret? We don't hear about this in our churches. We don't hear this reported on ABC, CBS, or NBC. Certainly Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity aren't going to be talking about this sort of thing. 2 million people?
Yes, there is. I know this because, like I said, I used to be chairman of the Governor's Task Force on Child Abuse. There is over 100 convictions in the United States of satanic ritual-related crimes. Over 100. And it's actually public knowledge. It's usually not mentioned on the evening news. But if you can check the court records, you'll find there's well over 100 very well documented cases. And what can happen sometimes is when there is a divorce in the child custody battle, the mate discovers that their husband or wife had been involved in Satanism and used the children. So some of the cases have come out because of modern investigative techniques. They have irrefutable proof that this occurs.
Now, you said that you were actually the chairman of the governor's task force on, was this on satanic ritual abuse?
It was just the chairman of the governor's task force on child abuse.
On child abuse, right.
And so in the child abuse arena, some of them would be abused by Satan. But I've led through the years many, many Satanists and witches to Christ. And I've led many warlocks. I led one in one city. I led the head warlock of the city. He alone, just in his group, had 300 witches underneath him. And I led him to Christ and baptized him in my church. When I led him to Christ, many others involved in the occult turned to Christ as well.
Well, basically, of course, I would think that it would be very dangerous for the warlock like that to be able to accept Jesus Christ, because I would think that they would try to kill him. I mean, basically, these are not people who have any respect for human life or our laws. I mean, do some of the people who come out actually face persecution or certainly death threats or even death itself?
Yes, that is true. In fact, about 10 years ago, an Illuminati assassin came to my office to shoot me and kill me. But the night before, just before I was getting in bed, God said, "Someone is going to try to kill you tomorrow." And I said, "How should I pray?" And God said, "Pray that they would forget their gun." So I laughed, and I said, "Okay, God, I pray they forget their gun." So I forgot all about it, and the next day, to make a long story short, this woman came into my office, and she reached in her jacket to get a gun and shoot me, and she said, "I cannot believe I forgot my gun." And to make a long story short, she said, "Let me be honest with you, I am a transgenerational Satanist." That means she was born in it. She says her parents and grandparents and great-grandparents were in the Illuminati, and she was born to be a trained assassin, and that the mafia would hire her in some difficult cases to assassinate people. And I told her about what God told me, and I gave her the plan of salvation. But she said very clearly that she was a transgenerational Satan. She told me the details of what type of gun she uses and the two ways that she assassinates people so that they do not live. I mean, most people would not know that.
Well, basically, did her life change after that, or did you ever see her again?
I never saw her again. I gave her the plan of salvation, and I encouraged her to accept Christ. She said, I'll think about it, and then she headed out the door, and she turned back, and the only time she smiled and says, I just want you to know I won't be back. And I said, praise the Lord, thank you. And she left and never saw her again.
Well, I think that it's difficult for people to believe this sort of thing happens. We actually have a four-tape set. It's called Deadly Assassins. We're actually interviewing two assassins, two government assassins, both affiliated with the CIA. One of them I know is dead, and the other I think is dead at the present time, but you can get the four CD set, Deadly Assassins from Radio Liberty. You can get the CD, four CD set on The Return of the Giants. You can get a copy of this interview with Pastor Preston Bailey. You must understand this is not imaginary, ladies and gentlemen. This is real. This is the sort of thing that really goes on behind the scenes. And the fact that you never hear about this through regular channels, it simply reflects the degree of control that they have over what we think. Pastor Bailey, how can people get in touch with you? Do you have a website or telephone number?
Yes, I have a website. SpiritualWarfareCenter.com.
SpiritualWarfareCenter.com.
Yes.
SpiritualWarfareCenter.com. Go there and certainly get the information. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Somebody called in, wanted me to ask Pastor Bailey the difference between multiple personality disorders and dissociative personality disorders. And he says there is none. It's just a difference in terminology. They're exactly the same. And, of course, he told us a number of things this evening, the prevalence of which this exists in America, and the fact that you haven't heard of it simply reflects the degree of control that exists today over what the American people think. We have a 4-CD set on the supernatural. A 4-CD set on the supernatural, we certainly recommend it to you. We have a 4-CD set on deadly assassins, where I actually interviewed 2 CIA assassins. Both of them, I believe, are dead. I know one is dead. The other probably is dead. And then, of course, we have other interviews with on that 4-CD set for the man who tracked down the man who was paid to kill General George Patton. And a fascinating story. So then, of course, we also have a 4-CD set on the supernatural. We have a 4-CD set on deadly assassins. Oh, we also have a 4-CD set on the Return of the Giants. And you go to our website, and you can find all sorts of fascinating CD sets and DVDs that we have there. We don't talk about them a lot of times. A lot of people would never even know they were there unless they went to our website, RadioLiberty.com. We have fascinating information. Anything that we have actually produced, you have our permission to copy and to distribute, as long as you're not doing it to make a profit. Copy them, get others to listen with our blessing. Now, you can certainly listen to this program. It'll be archived at our website at RadioLiberty.com. You're welcome to pull it down. You can always get a copy from us. But if you want to pull it down off our archive spot on RadioLiberty.com, why, you have our blessing. And then, of course, this is the time when I need to mention that my ministry is primarily listener-supported. We do have to put out $500,000 a year, basically, to actually to maintain our network of stations across America. So if you can join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, if you can have something to advertise with us, whatever you could do to help us, we'd appreciate it. We want to keep going as long as we possibly can. And we have shortwave outlets. We have internet outlets. We have cell phone outlets. We have station outlets. We have satellite outlets. And if you have a KU band satellite, you can get our programs off the internet 24 hours a day. But certainly people can listen to us on the internet. This is what most people have. But fortunately, we do have stations, a fair number of stations for both our afternoon and our evening programs. Our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage is RadioLiberty.com. RadioLiberty.com. If you find it difficult to believe that there are people out there who certainly come from satanic families, that they acknowledge our part of the Illuminati, of course you need to get the writings on the Illuminati, it was a secret society, created in 1776, May 1st, 1776, but it was part of this continuing secret societies dating back thousands of years. You need to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. That's Brotherhood of Darkness. You can get the DVD. But if you get the book, it'll give you the documentation. And you can go into the Masonic writings. You can go into the Satanic writings. And we actually have the books written by the Satanists available on our research catalog. Not in our regular catalog, our research catalog. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. What do you need to do? You need to understand what's going on. You need, of course, to get the information, and then you need to help us get this out across America. Because we are truly involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. And most people don't even know what's going on today. Our webpage, RadioLiberty.com. RadioLiberty.com, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. We ask you to pray for America, but please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision, protection. Let us fall.
grateful for a land so fair. As we raise our voices in a solemn prayer, God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with a light from above. From the
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, and illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Pastor Joey Faust. And we're going to be talking about hospice hell. Now, most Christians are very concerned about abortion, and we should be concerned about abortion because they're killing unborn children. And, of course, they slaughtered 53 million of them here in the United States, and more are dying every day. And then, of course, we prevent, of course, their conception, we use sterilization, and certainly this has taken a terrible toll on our population. And today, of course, why, of course, not enough people are being born into our society to actually replace those who are dying off, and as a result, of course, we certainly having increasing difficulties with our social welfare programs, Social Security and Medicare. If we don't have new people coming into the workforce, who's going then to pay for the people who are retired? And this is what's happening in Japan. This is what's happening throughout the world. It's happening in America. But when most people don't understand that in addition to the murder of the unborn children at the beginning of life, we have a program designed to kill the elderly. Oh, lots of times we talk about certainly people having a care. Certainly you wouldn't want an unreasonable care. You wouldn't want to be kept alive indefinitely, certainly with tubes in your nose and tubes in your throat and IVs in your arms and tubes certainly in your rectum and all sorts of, you're just having to be repeatedly turned. You wouldn't want certainly extraordinary care. If you were dying, you'd be kept alive efficiently. And of course, most people would say, well, no, I wouldn't want to live under those circumstances. So what is exceptional care? Well, it's certainly how you define it. Actually, I've been in medical meetings where the ethicists were there and saying exceptional care is giving people food and water when they come in the hospital. And if you start giving them food and water when they come in the hospital, why, of course, you're going to have to keep giving them food and water. Might be better if we didn't give them food and water when they come to the hospital there, because then we wouldn't have to take it away from them. And I'll never forget attending a medical meeting at a local Catholic hospital. And at the end of this discussion by an ethicist, I got up and I said, you know, this is a Catholic hospital. And basically this hospital has certain moral foundations. I can't believe the talk I just heard where they're actually talking about keeping people from having food and water when they enter the hospital, and how people are going to have to die of one thing or another. What has happened to the Catholic Church? Well, believe me, there was a lot of scrambling to cover for that, but this, unfortunately, has permeated every aspect of our society today. Pastor Joey Faust, I want you to pick up the story of what's going on in the way of euthanasia and hospice hell in America today.
God bless you, Brother Stan. You know, the Bible says in John 10 that the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. But Jesus has come that they might have life, that they might have it more abundant. My research began in this subject of hospice and innocent people being put to death when my aunt was diagnosed with cancer, and we wanted her to use natural means and reject the chemo and radiation. But she went with the standard procedures, and when the doctors gave up and sent her home to die, we thought we could then use the natural means as a last effort, but the family refused, not wanting to prolong the suffering. And when I got to see my aunt, I was not prepared for what I saw. She looked like a concentration camp victim. She had been deprived of nourishment.
Hold that thought. Hold that thought. We'll be right back. Dr. Stan, our guest, of course, is Pastor Joey Faust, and he had an aunt who, I said, he had terminal cancer, and she was going to die. And I said, the idea would be to take her home and keep her comfortable, and I guess eventually God would take her life. And this is the way I was trained. Basically, you gave morphine to a terminal patient to keep them comfortable. You did not give morphine to kill them. You gave them amount of medication that they needed to control pain, and God would eventually take them home. But you did not actively kill them. Well, of course, within Pastor Joey went to see his aunt while they were actively killing her with large amounts of morphine, and she didn't die of her cancer. She died of morphine intoxication. And, of course, as he began analyzing what's going on and realized that this is the program in hospices all across America. Your doctor will want you to get a living will, where, of course, you write down what you want to happen if it looks like you're at the end of life. But be very careful of those words, extraordinary care, because they don't tell you what they mean. And that can mean simply food and water, ladies and gentlemen. And basically, of course, what they do with the elderly is they simply withhold food and water, and they dehydrate them, and they starve them, and then they give them morphine, and they kill them. And it's very, very convenient. And sometimes the family wants this. They want to get their hands on the money. Other times, they want, of course, not to have to worry about the psychological problems of watching people die. But death is something very unique. We were all going to die. This is in God's hands, not in the family's hands, and certainly not in the doctor's hands. And Pastor Joey, as he's talked and written about this, has had correspondence from nurses and people all across America who are concerned about the fact that we're killing our elderly. It's being fomented and fostered in many instances by the medical profession. Have you run into that, Pastor Joey, that there's some doctors who go right along with this? I'm not saying most doctors do. I don't think most doctors even like to think about this when there's nothing you can do for a patient. But this whole society, this whole hospice movement is really intent upon killing people. This is what it's about. Our number, if you're out there in the listening audience, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. This is not imaginary. It's very real. Pastor Joey, you go right ahead.
You know, when you think of what Darwin brought to America, you know, they call it the fruit of all business. Certainly humanism is a fruit of this Darwinian mindset. We've adopted a pagan worldview in our world today. And when you go back to the Bible, you see that the so-called mercy killing is condemned by the Bible. You know, if anybody had a so-called right to die, it would be Job. But Job says in chapter 6, "Oh, that I might have my request, and that God would grant me the thing that I long for." And what did he long for? He tells you that he longs to die. He says, "Then should I yet have comfort." But what's interesting is Job didn't kill himself, nor did his friends put him to death as a so-called blessing to him. But Job says in the next chapter, chapter 7, "I'm full of tossing to and fro. My flesh is clothed with worms and clods of dust. My skin is broken and become loathsome, so that my soul chooses strangling and death rather than my life." But neither Job or his friends took his life into their own hands. They did not play God. And one man who professed to play God, in 2 Samuel 1, he claims to have killed Saul the king in an act of mercy, and David slew him as capital punishment for taking Saul's life or even professing that he did so.
And I think that God does not approve of euthanasia. Even if somebody wants to die, that is not up to us. I mean, it's very convenient. There's certainly, it gets rid of something that is bothersome and may be certainly making you feel uncomfortable. But we have to understand that in the final analysis, God is in charge, not us. Let's go to Gloria, who's calling from Spokane, Washington. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And don't be bashful if you have a question or comment for Pastor Joey, because she's one of the few people out there on the front line talking about this. Hi, Gloria. How are you doing?
Oh, hi. I'm so glad to hear that there's a pastor who is exposing what a lot of times hospice does. I had a personal experience when my mother called in hospice for my father, and I saw my dad had COPD, and I have a background in medical information, so I knew the physician just referenced said you should not use morphine with COPD patients. And I brought that to the attention of my mother and sort of upset the family, but I insisted that he not be given morphine. And Ron Panzer has written a book called Stealth Euthanasia in America, and it's about how hospice is really being used to euthanize patients every day in America. And we Christians need to expose this. I'm not saying that the hospice nurses weren't kind to my father, but it's their methodology. And oftentimes when I've had relatives and friends, when they call hospice within days or sometimes even less than 24 hours, their loved one dies after hospice is called in.
In fact, I shall never forget, you get to be very, very close to your nurses. They're like your friends, because you're the doctor, you're the boss, but they're the ones who do the work. And I said, we had this one patient, and he was dying. I said, no question, but he went home. And one of the nurses who worked with me, a male nurse, actually looked after him and went over to see him and was helping him at home. And he told me, he said, a hospice nurse, he knew, had said, look, why don't you just give him a big shot of morphine and end it all? It'd be so much easier on you and on him. And he wouldn't do it. I mean, this male nurse certainly was an honest individual, and that was not his job. His job was to care for people, recognizing full well that in the final analysis, what happens is up to God, not up to the nurse, not up to the doctor, not up to the family. Anything else you wanted to say, Gloria?
Well, you just might want to check out that book, Stealth Euthanasia, because it is being done. That is not to say that people shouldn't be given small amounts of morphine if it's necessary for terrible pain.
Of course they should.
But they just have to carefully monitor it. And just be aware that hospice seems like it's being promoted by Christian pastors and everybody I know. They think it's just fine, and it's not really fine. People need to do their research.
Well, Pastor Joy, what do you think about what Gloria from Spokane is saying? Again, our number 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. But Pastor Joy, what do you think about Gloria's remarks?
Oh, she is absolutely right. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 31 to open our mouth with the dumb and the cause of all such as are appointed to destruction. And we certainly see that morphine is being misused, and the book that she references is a very good book. And you can go to the Hospice Patient Alliance website, and we also have on our website at kingdombaptist.org, we have some articles complete on the subject. And, in the UK right now, this has entered into the hospital. And just about every day, there are articles coming out where doctors are exposing and others are explaining that patients are being left to die, maybe just to save money for the hospital or to free up hospital beds. And numerous articles out of the Telegraph, like in July 8, 2012, it says hospitals letting patients die to save money. Leading doctors warn to free up bed space. And they call it the death pathway. And it's the same as hospice here in America. And they help end lives every year. Six doctors warn that hospitals are using this controversial scheme to reduce strain on hospital resources.
Well, I think people have to understand that the way the hospital is paid, the hospital isn't paid for what they do. The hospital is paid, in many instances, just a flat rate, whether you're there for a day, whether you're there for a week, whether you're there for a month. Well, of course, if you can get, based upon the diagnosis, and they will pay a certain amount based upon that diagnosis. Well, if you die the first 24 hours, they make out like bandits. They make out like bandits because they get the same amount of money if you're there for a day, if you're there for a week or a month. And, of course, if you're there for a month, well, the hospital loses their shirt. Understand, ladies and gentlemen, this is not imaginary. And I have heard it said, and from doctors in England, that a lot of patients are afraid to go to the hospital in Great Britain for fear that they will never come out alive. It's well known in England that today, under socialized medicine, they simply kill the elderly to free up the beds. This is not imaginary, and that, of course, what Obamacare is really all about. That's what the death panels are all about. They don't have enough money to take care of all the people, and they're going to have to kill them. People find this so difficult to believe that this could happen in America, but I would ask, why not? When America has turned its back on God, do you think God is going to intervene and say you can't kill these people? We have people at the highest levels of our government, certainly in the Obama administration, who really, of course, say, look, we don't have enough money. We've got another 79 million Americans who are going to retire in the next 19 years. We've got 56 million Americans retired now. Another 79 million, the baby boomers, are going to retire. We promised them to give them Social Security and Medicare. We can't let them know we've spent all the money. And, of course, what do? You kill the elderly. You withhold their medical care. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. If you have a question or a comment, don't hesitate to give us a call. We'll be back in just a moment right here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is gracious Pastor Joey Faust, and we're talking about euthanasia. We're talking about the hospice programs. We're talking about these living wills. And your doctor will get you to sign a living will, but he'll never tell you what extraordinary care means. They use these terms, ladies and gentlemen, not to reveal what they plan, but to conceal what they plan, and they know exactly what they're doing. The average doctor doesn't even understand what is in the living will. He's never evaluated extraordinary care. Extraordinary care could be prolonging your life unnecessarily when you're, for all intents and purposes, dead, or extraordinary care, as I said earlier, can be simply food and water, and many of the people who go into hospice are deprived of food and water, and sometimes even in the hospitals, to make sure that they're going to die. And in England today, many of the elderly will not go to the hospital because they honestly believe, and right justifiably so, that they'll never get out alive. This is Great Britain. For once, so many of our people in this country, we came from Great Britain. We're Irish or Scots or English heritage, Welsh heritage. What happened to England? Why, of course, they forgot God. I tell, and of course, they embraced socialism, where the government is going to take care of you. But remember, ladies and gentlemen, any government that can provide for whatever you need must be able to take your life whenever they want to, so they have enough money to maintain their position of power. It's all about power and control. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Pastor Joey, I want you to tell our listeners how they can get to your website, what they'll find on the website, what they can do about the program of organized murder, which is engulfing certainly the medical profession and hospice movement today. End of life. They call it end of life care. It really means we're going to end your life whether you want it or not. Go right ahead.
KingdomBaptist.org is our website where we have some sermons and some studies upon this subject. And what we need to do is what the Bible tells us. You know, I think of Jonathan when Saul's father, when his father Saul was attempting to kill David, and he stood up to his father and says, "Wherefore shall he be slain? What hath he done?" And our Bible tells us, deliver the poor and needy. Rid them out of the hand of the wicked. And one way to do that is by opening our mouth in the gate. But Proverbs 24 says, wisdom is too high for a fool. He openeth not his mouth in the gate. But if thou prepare to deliver them that are drawn unto death, and those that are ready to be slain, if thou sayest, behold, we knew it not, doth not he that pondereth the heart consider it? And I tell you, God will render to every man according to his word. I think of what Mordecai said to Esther. If thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, and he goes on to tell her that thy father's house and thou shall be destroyed. But who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? And so I want to appeal to the doctors, to the nurses, to those people that are in positions of leadership. God holds you accountable for that position. And as I see many in the UK and men like Ron Panzer and others that have written me, many doctors are coming out and speaking out, and they're being ridiculed. But they're using the media, and they're getting this word out. You know, the UK today, the Telegraph, news today says family doctors asked to identify patients likely to die. They are creating quotas. They are telling doctors that the death rate is about to increase again as baby boomers reach old age. And they say, if we don't act now, we're going to have a terrible situation. But what they want to do is get a list of people that these doctors can pretty much say we're putting them to death. These are ones that we believe are ready to die, even though doctors say there is no scientific way of diagnosing imminent death.
And I will tell you, having been a doctor for the better part of a half a century, I've never been smart enough to know when somebody was going to die. Sometimes I was sure they're going to die, and of course that they got well. Other times I was sure they're going to get well, and they just up and died. Doctors are not gods. They do the best they can, and God love them. Most of them are wonderful people, but they're trapped in a system they don't understand. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And have you certainly signed a living will? Has your doctor gotten you to sign a living will? Have you read it through very carefully? Are the words extraordinary care and the fact you don't want extraordinary care there, well, you better understand. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay. Our guest is Pastor Joey Faust, and our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295, and we have Herman on the line. Hi, Herman, do you have a question or comment?
I'd like to make a comment. I appreciate the topic this evening. I'm personally familiar with this topic because I work in assisted living, have taken care of elderly for many years, and on quite a few occasions have experienced hospice care both in my facility but also at the multi-million dollar hospice facility in Monterey, which is gorgeous. People donated for it. But when you go in there and it's all very peaceful and they have waiting rooms for families and flowers and volunteers, but in the rooms, which are very nice, the patient lies there and the people come and they say, well, ma'am or sir, on the scale of 1 to 10, what is your level of pain? And I had this happen to a very good friend of mine who wasn't that old. And he said, oh, between 4 and 5. Well, let me get you something. Next thing you knew, he was being given morphine. And I've seen this happen again and again. And they will continue to bring food. They put it on a little tray next to the bed. And then as the patient gets to be too weak to eat, well, they still bring the food. But then they're gone. And this is the new normal that's coming. You know, it's not like Nazi Germany. You're not going to see those horrible films. But this will be the kinder, gentler approach. And I think people are going to be afraid to get old, afraid to go to the hospital. They already are. I know friends that went to Israel, and they helped an old woman who was crossing the street in Tel Aviv. She was carrying heavy bags. She looked pretty weak. And so they walked to help her to her little apartment building. And they said, where do you live? And she said, up there. And so they climbed up to the third floor with her. There was no elevator. And they could see she was sick. And they said, let us take you to the hospital. And her face turned to terror. And she said, no, no, because if I go to the hospital, I'll never come out. And, you know, it's a sad, sad thing. But I fear that this is the future.
But this, Herman, this is what socialized medicine is. Socialized medicine is certainly what the government provides for you, and a government that certainly goes around the world kidnapping people and taking them to be tortured. Do you really trust them to look after your best interest? A government that has professional assassins, and we've listened to our program. You know, I've interviewed professional government assassins. You know that certainly we've interviewed a number of people who've been on this program who've subsequently been killed. Certainly, do you really want to trust them with your health? And certainly, we need private hospitals. We need people who have insurance, who are paying for their insurance, so that the hospital and the doctors are answerable to them, not to a government official in Washington, D.C., who has limited amounts of money and has to withhold medical care. That's what socialized medicine is about. That's what the death panels are about. And they're simply going to say, we've only got so much money, or we're just going to have to withhold medical care. And since, as an individual, 83 years old, I cannot go out in the United States and buy a health care program on my own. I can get a supplement, but I can't get a primary health care program. I am stuck in that program unless I go to Mexico, and I suspect that what's going to happen is increasing numbers of people from both Canada and the United States are going to be going to Mexico to get health care, because at least there, while they'll be able to have somebody try to save their lives, there's to be no incentive to save lives in a socialist America. And we have far more socialism in America today than they have either in China or in Russia, and the average American has no idea. Pastor Joy, what would your thoughts be on that?
What an excellent testimony. I appreciate it from Herman. That's a first-hand testimony. And this double speak is the problem. Ron Panzer says if we kill through gassing, injecting, or shooting, is the result much different from sedating, dehydrating, or morphine? And what happens is like Dr. Peter Hargreaves of St. Luke Cancer Center in the U.K., says that sedation often masks the signs of improvement. So they say, well, they're not getting better, but they're really sedated. And then this whole idea of, well, we put the food there, but they won't take anything to eat. Well, morphine reduces appetite. It eventually causes internal organs to shut down. And that's another reason that Panzer has stated that signs of morphine overdosage are the same as some of the signs of imminent death. So it's very convenient for people who believe that morphine is the solution for breathing problems and et cetera, to just simply say the patient is dying when really they're being killed, not by the cancer, not by their illness, but by the overdoses that has been given to them.
Well, you know, my wife is a nurse, and she was trained in she's not Catholic, but she was trained at a Catholic hospital. And the one thing that was emphasized over and over and over again was the importance of human life. And somebody was dying, they always had somebody go in and sit with them and hold their hand, and they waited 30 minutes after they were dead before they began making any specific arrangements to move them to the morgue. But human life was very important. And as my wife stresses, you gave enough medication to keep people comfortable, but never enough to suppress the respirations. Today, we're giving them enough to suppress the respirations because we want to have them dead, because the hospital benefits if they die, because they get to get paid the full sum of money. They certainly are being paid based upon the diagnosis rather than the care given. This is not imaginary. It's real. This is going on in America today. And as ministers and spokesmen, conservative politicians talk about how terrible abortion is, nobody, except perhaps a few people like Joey Faust, our guest this evening, talks about what they're doing to our elderly, and they're actively killing them in America today. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-2955. Herman, are you still there? I think Herman's dropped off, and so if you have a question or comment, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Go right ahead, Pastor Faust.
Well, looking at some other headlines, it is really getting frightening. I praise God that I'm a Christian. You know, we have a biblical foundation in which to understand what is happening in time. But if you read headlines such as October 18th of the Telegraph, that this brain dead patient could be kept alive to harvest their organs for NHS, the National Health Service. I mean, what are we becoming? I mean, it's maddening. The Bible says the nations are mad in the last days. And doctors call it a national crisis emerging. And, you know, I have some comments here from others.
Well, let's go to where we have a caller on the line.
All right.
Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Are you out there in the listening audience? Have you had a similar experience? Are you concerned about the fact that they're actively in America today killing the elderly, that over in England people are afraid to go to the hospital because they're afraid they won't come out? They know what's going on in England. The people there are smart enough. They know what socialized medicine is. That's what we have in America. We have socialized medicine for the elderly. And right now it's wonderful. See, you can go to the hospital. You don't have a supplementary policy.
I just messed everything up.
Barbara, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Go right ahead.
Well, I just wanted to make the statement that I took my nurse's training in a Catholic school of nursing back in the late 1950s, graduated in the early 60s, and we were always taught that no matter how much pain a patient was in, and we had multiple patients who were dying of terminal cancer, and but the one thing we were always told was you give them enough to control the pain and no more, ever. And we had to, you know, to be with these people. We had to comfort them. We had to stand by them and to help them and to control their pain. But we were there for them for as long as they could survive. But we were never, ever allowed to give them any more morphine than was required to control the pain. And through all the years that I practiced as a nurse, I remember that teaching, and I never, ever did anything other than what I was taught during my nurse's training, and I am so grateful for it. It was hard to watch some of these people suffer because it hurts, but you can control the pain, and you can give them comfort, and you can give them support, but at least you can preserve their life, and you are not responsible for sending them to, you know, another world. And that I will always be thankful for, of the training that I received.
I have a thought on that, Pastor Joey?
I could not hear it. too well.
Okay, I'm sorry. Well, she was Barbara, anything else you wanted to say before we let you go?
No, you can pass it on to
All right, fine. Okay, fine. Well, let's go to Kathleen.
Kathleen is calling us, and Kathleen is calling us from Richmond. Hi, Kathleen. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. I appreciate your talk. I've just started listening to your radio program this last several months.
Well, I hope you're going to become a regular listener and you get other people to listen. We're so fortunate to have a wonderful listening audience up there in Washington where you are. Go right ahead. Do you have a question or comment on the...
I have a comment. I had my mom had pancreatic cancer and she was put in hospice because it was a family decision. But I didn't know that they used the morphine to make them die quicker, but I experienced that because she was lucid when she first went in, and then the next day she couldn't respond to anything. And they told us we could still talk to her because she was probably hearing, so, you know, we did do that, and she died at the end of a week, but... they thought she was going to go sooner. And then I didn't think anything of it. I thought we did the best thing. And then my mom's friend, her husband was put in the same hospice. And the same thing happened. He was lucid when he went in. And then the next day he couldn't talk or respond to anybody. So I have come to the conclusion, and I did it on my own before your program, was that they were using the morphine to make them die quicker.
You're absolutely right, Kathleen. It's horrible as it is. This is going on all across America, and very few people have the courage to speak out it. That's why Pastor Joey Foster's his message is so important. Pastor Joey, one more time, put out your telephone number for us, would you?
Sure.
And by man, put out your website.
Okay. KingdomBaptist.org.
KingdomBaptist.org. Anything else you wanted to say, Kathleen?
No, I just wanted to share that, and I appreciate what you're saying. I wasn't aware of it beforehand. But
well, Kathleen, basically, of course, this is only part of the population control thing. If you you can certainly go up on the Internet and see some of my talks on None Dare Call It Genocide, Population Control Agenda. You can get that off the Internet. It's my treatise. But basically, they have treatments for cancer. They're withholding them. We know this is the case. They're actually creating new diseases to kill people. AIDS is a man-made disease. Certainly, go to my website, RadioLiberty.com, pull out down our Population Control Agenda. We have a great new DVD. It really, of course, is all-encompassing. It's called Population Control, the Covert Agenda. It's not only said the abortion and sterilization and contraception and euthanasia, but, of course, they're creating new diseases. They're using chemtrails. They're poisoning our water, and they're poisoning our air, and they're poisoning our food, and very few people care. God bless. Thanks very much for calling.
Thank you.
Bye-bye, and let's go to
Carol is calling from Spokane. Yeah. Hi, Carol. Do you have a question or comment?
Yes. Did you touch on the, I'm an organ donor, and if there was anything to salvage from me, would they hasten my death?
Well, basically, you are an organ donor. And basically, you've decided that when you die, while you're going to give your organs to people who need them, is that correct?
Yes, if I can help anybody.
All
but
right,
I was
fine.
Just listening. Just
be sure that they don't hurry you along, so because they need some of your organs. And I hate to say this, but I've actually heard stories about how this sort of thing has happened. Pastor Joey, what would you say to Carol, who is certainly a very nice person, she wants to help others, so she's signed up as an organ donor. Do you have any thoughts on that at all?
Yeah, part two of this study at Hospice Hill that I did was showing how the whole organ donation, if it's your eye, if it's something that is a vital organ, they redefined death in the 60s, and they did it in a double-speak manner. So when they take organs from people today, they have to kill you to do so. You have to be alive to get your organ, and there is no scientific, they say
oh.
the person was technically dead. There's no such thing as that. If your organ, if your hearts are still beating, et cetera, so it's all double speak. And, it's a horrible situation. I have the documentation of that on my website.
Oh!
I think maybe you ought to look into it. I would suggest, Carol, you go to a Pastor Joey's website. His name is Pastor Joey Faust, F-A-U-S-T. Understand the implications of this, because I have heard of instances where they hurried the death along so they can harvest the organs, and you say, why, that would never happen in America, and I would like to say, why not? If we'll send our planes over to kill people, we'll send drones over to kill innocent civilians in both Afghanistan and in other countries. Pakistan, we send drones in there to kill people. They have very specific weapons. Why should you think that there's no reason why they wouldn't eliminate you as long as you said they can have your organs? I mean, they make make a lot of money by selling these organs, Carol. You don't make any money, but they do.
I have one more question, as long as I have you. I'm able to get into a house soon from an apartment, and I was very anxious to get a garden in next spring, but the way I'm hearing everything, it won't even help if I'm planting things in soil that's no good, and golly,
well, I tell you, we've got lots of problems, and they are poisoning our soil with aluminum and other things. Just keep listening to our problems, to our programs, Carol, and help us get the information out. Because remember that.
I will.
Okay, God bless. Thanks so very much. We'll be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and of course we always enjoy certainly programs of this sort, and it's hard for people to understand what's really going on in the world today. But of course there really is an organized effort to kill off large numbers of people, and certainly we hope that if you're out there in the listening audience, why of course you'll do everything you can to get information out on this and many of the other subjects which we certainly address here regularly at Radio Liberty. But there really certainly are these problems. They're not imaginary. They are real. We have a four-tape set on euthanasia. It's a four-tape set on euthanasia. It's available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Of course, we have a four-tape set on abortion and what's wrong with abortion. But to put things into their proper perspective, let me suggest my talks. One is population control, and then one is called None Dare Call It Genocide. But my latest talk, and I think it's all-encompassing, is Population Control, the Covert Agenda. And then, of course, much of this is also included in the talk I'm going to be giving this weekend at the conference, entitled Agenda 21, The Covert Plan. Agenda 21, the covert plan. Well, what does suddenly euthanasia have to do with Agenda 21? Well, basically, of course, they want to kill off most of the people in the world. We have a little mnemonic. This is Agenda 21. That's A-G-E-N-D-A. And the G in agenda is for genocide. And they openly talk about the necessity of killing off over 90% of the population of the world through abortion, through euthanasia, through creating new and terrible diseases, through suppressing treatments on cancer, or by using, of course, certainly cell phones and other forms of electric poisoning, or by, of course, poisoning the soil and poisoning the air and poisoning the water. These are not imaginary, ladies and gentlemen. Let me suggest my talk. If you're only going to get one thing, Agenda 21, the Covert Plan. Agenda 21, the Covert Plan is an excellent DVD. If you want to, you can, of course, get the syllabus that goes with that, giving you the government documents that verify the fact that there really is a plan to kill off most of the people in the world, including you and your family and your children and your friends. And this is the Earth Charter. You'll get a copy of the Earth Charter. And we go into the background of who actually wrote that. Three of the most evil people in the world. One of them, a man who killed millions of people when he was the dictator of Russia. And of course, he actually was responsible for genocide during the Afghan War. And when Mikhail Gorbachev certainly was expelled from Russia, where did that happen? Where in the world could he go, this mass murderer who was guilty of terrible war crimes? Why, he came to the United States. He got offices at the Presidio in San Francisco. And when he put on his State of the World Forum meetings, all the leaders of America went there to laud and applaud Mikhail Gorbachev, a mass murderer. Well, he's one of the authors of the Earth Charter. You need to get that. And of course, it's included in our syllabus. It's included in our syllabus on Agenda 21, the Covert Plan. Our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage is radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. And of course, we do hope that many of you out there will go to our website, listen to our programs. You can listen 24 hours a day, live or recorded, watch our DVDs, read our newsletters. But of course, we ask you, of course, if you're in a position to help Radio Liberty financially. We are primarily listener supported. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, we ask you to pray for America, to pray for revival, but please pray for Radio Liberty, our provision and our protection.
Let us all be grateful for a land so fair. As we raise our voice,
You're tuned to the Global Star Radio Network. Thanks for listening.
Ladies and gentlemen, to the Power Hour Radio Show. It is 18 October. It is Thursday. You're in the right place, and the year is 2012. Waiting for that amazing December date. What's going to happen in December? Don't know, but we're waiting one day at a time. I thank you all very much for joining us today. Your desire to want to understand, to know, and to teach is certainly respected, not just by me, but by everyone that listens.